allow the Holy Spirit to help us create an atmosphere that will cause us and help us to be ready to fulfill the purpose of God for our lives in reaching our city and our community. And in order to do that, we've got to cooperate with the God and what he wants to do in setting the atmosphere. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 1 if you can, and we're going to jump in. Right in the beginning, one of the first things that God did in the creation of the universe was he created the right atmosphere. It had to be an atmosphere that was made up perfectly of the right amount of ingredients so that it would sustain the life of his purpose in his creation. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void." This is the atmosphere it was before God changed it. "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light. And God saw the light that it was" what? Good. What kind of atmosphere does God want to build? A good atmosphere. "That it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And so the evening and the morning were the first day." So that's what God's doing in the beginning with his creation. Let's go to when he starts with the church and see what kind of atmosphere he sets there. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven." Notice where the atmosphere came from. "It came from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting." Atmosphere changed. "And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit." Don't we love the Holy Spirit? "Filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, 'Look, are not these all who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born?' And so they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'Whatever could this mean?' Others were mocking, kind of making fun, saying, 'Oh, they're full of new wine. These guys are drunk, man.' Peter stands up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. It's 9 in the morning. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun will be turned to darkness, the moon into blood before the coming and great and awesome day of the Lord." I mean, all of these terms are atmosphere terms. You know, where's the sun? It's in our atmosphere. Where's the moon? It's a part of the atmosphere around the earth. We're talking about a spirit being poured out and the spiritual atmosphere changing. Spirit of revelation. All these things are happening. It says in verse 21, "All it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. When God creates something, when he builds something, he creates a certain atmosphere to facilitate what he is building, what he's creating. In Genesis, in the book of Genesis, he creates the heaven and the earth, and there's an atmosphere that he creates for his creation. In the book of Acts, he's getting ready to start the church, and so what does he do? He comes and he sets the atmosphere for the beginning of the church, so the church will thrive in the hand of God and in the purpose of God. I don't know about you, but I want my life to thrive in the purpose of God. I want my marriage to thrive in the purpose of God. I want my children to thrive in the purpose of God. I would want my business to thrive in the purpose of God. I would want my hair salon to thrive in the purpose of God. Can I get a witness? And it requires a certain atmosphere if it's going to thrive. You got to have the right atmosphere. In the book of Acts, God creates an atmosphere for his church and begins to create something that's going to open a life and the thriving grace of God flowing through his church. Now, in the book of Genesis, what he started out and what he had to work with was not so full of life. In fact, it was really lifeless. Let's look at it for a minute. In the book of Genesis, the Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And what he describes, he uses three words to describe what he had to work with and what he had to start with. The first one is the word void. It was empty. It was void. It was a lifeless atmosphere. It was a formless atmosphere. It was empty. There was no substance to it. There was nothing that really made a difference. Wow. Anybody in the room want to be part of a church like that? Yeah. Empty, void, not really making a difference? Yeah. If you're gonna make a difference, you've got to have the right atmosphere. Right. Another thing about this word is that it leaves one empty. Like the emptiness, and this word is used in the Old Testament to describe the emptiness that a person would have if they were to worship another idol or another god. It leaves them empty. It doesn't deliver the spiritual life that they need. Another thing that this word describes in the Old Testament is a spiritual wilderness, like a lonely or solitary place. Nobody wants to go to a church that is they feel solitary or lonely in. And it's incredible because there are people that are going to places of worship and they're in a room full of people and they're lonely. They're solitary. And I would suggest to you that the way you change that is changing the atmosphere. Change the atmosphere and you will change that. Void also means a place of chaos. It's out of order. It's random. There's no sense of mission, no sense of direction. It's just a place of chaos. That is void. The Bible also describes what God had to start with as a place of darkness. It was dark. In other words, it's the opposite of light. And here's what happens with darkness is there is also dim vision or no vision. You can't see. There's no vision there. Now, I know that's not the case with this church. This church has a lot of vision, but I would suggest to you that for the vision to be accomplished, the atmosphere has to be right. And so I'm not suggesting that this church is just jacked up with its atmosphere, not at all. What I am suggesting to you, though, is that for you to step into the fullness of God's purpose, to see what God wants you to do for the purpose of your personal life and for the purpose of this church, is that you unlock the atmosphere God wants you to have here in this place to do what he wants you to do and be who he wants you to be. Amen. Darkness is also a Hebrew word that means confusion or disorientation. It also means a lack of revelation. It also means adversity, calamity, gloom, or depression. Well, enough of that. The world has all of that. If they come here, what should they find here? Something completely different. Come on. Amen. There needs to be a different atmosphere here. Another word that's used in the Genesis record is to describe what God starting to work with in that lifeless atmosphere was the word deep. Have you ever met somebody who is so deep? Yeah. You have no idea what they're talking about? Yeah. You're too smart for me, man. I don't see that at all. These are the guys that are really hyper-spiritual. They're too spiritual for their own good. You know what happens? There are even Christians who are, they're so deep, they're irrelevant. They do not connect with the needs of this world. Listen, if you're going to have an answer, you got to connect to their question. Just a thought. I'm a scuba diver, and one of the things that I've learned in scuba diving is that when you go into the depths of the ocean, there's also something that unique that happens, and it's, there is weird pressure that happens in the depths of the ocean. And you get too deep, it can get cold, and it can get weird pressure. I've been scuba diving out in the San Juan Islands. I've probably done over 100 dives in the San Juan Islands out here in the Puget Sound, and actually ran out of air one time at about 110 feet. And I was pursuing the most amazing lingcod you've ever seen in your life. But anyway, that's another story for another time. And down there, it is cold. I learned right away, dry suit is the way to go. Because then you get in the water and you're dry inside. And it's warm like a fire at Christmas time, even though it's stinking cold in the water. You can't feel your face, but your body's all good. So these kinds of things happen, and they create a lifeless atmosphere. I mean, I could do a pop quiz or a quick survey, and I don't think anybody in the room would say, I'm down with these three things. I think that'd be great. Let's have a church like that. No. That would be a no. I think that everybody in the room says, I want to be a part of a thriving purpose in my life and in my church, and I want to be a part of a people that is thriving in an atmosphere that creates the thriving life and purpose of God. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And so in this kind of an atmosphere, it starts with certain things. And I think you don't get a thriving atmosphere on accident. You don't like stumble into it. It actually is pretty intentional. There has to be a plan and a purpose to see an atmosphere. Listen, if you want a different atmosphere in your marriage, don't keep doing what got you the stinky atmosphere now. Otherwise, you're going to continue having that rotten potato smell in your marriage. You've got to pull it out. You've got to pull it out. You've got to get the thing that's creating the repellent out of there and replace it with something that's going to create your marriage to thrive. You've got to change the atmosphere. It's the truth with your business. It's the truth with where you work. Could it be that where you work and the atmosphere that your work, where you work, could actually change? And God's just looking to start with you. And then he can change the atmosphere from you to the other people. It's what the Bible calls, I think, it's what we call leadership. And if you want a better atmosphere, lead the way for the rest of the crew you work with. You don't have to be in charge. You just have to have that right atmosphere in your spirit and begin to see that come. The right atmosphere, first of all, number one, begins with a word from God. What does God say to you? What is he saying to this church? What is he saying to your business? What is he saying to your marriage? What is he saying to your teenage son or your teenage daughter? What is God wanting to say to shift the atmosphere a little bit in your lives and begin to create his purpose and you to thrive in that purpose in your life? In Genesis chapter 1, it all started with God. Then God said, let there be light. Yeah. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, I want you to wait for the promise of the Father. Yeah. The miracle at the wedding of Cana was all facilitated as the disciples followed Mary, the mother of Jesus' advice when she said, whatever he says to you, do it. Whatever he says to you, you do that. And what happened? There was a change in the actual makeup of the water that was in those jars, and it became the best wine that anyone has ever tasted. Because they did what God told them to do. Let's guide you, and he's going to direct you. He's going to drop some things into their hearts about changing the atmosphere a little bit and causing some tweaks here and some tweaks there. For the most part, I think everything is going great. There's a great atmosphere in this place, but I believe there's some things God's put in the hearts and minds of the leaders and the pastors of this house that if we would just listen to the voice of the Lord through them, God would begin to change some things and cause us to thrive in God's purpose. Second thing that happens is that a thriving atmosphere is birthed in prayer. It's birthed in prayer. The Bible says in Acts 1:14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Say, oh, Mark, you don't understand my boss, man. The guy is the jerk from hell, I'm telling you. I don't have to know your boss. And I don't have to understand all the dynamics that are there. I just want to ask you this question. Are you praying for him? Are you praying that he would have an encounter with God? Are you praying for yourself and your own attitude to be able to go to work and be an atmosphere changer? Pray. It's birthed in prayer. Third thing that happens, and how these thriving atmospheres are released in the midst of our lives, is it's brought about by the Holy Spirit. It is brought about by the Holy Spirit. Now, while we do what the Holy Spirit tells us to do, we do it through the power that he gives us. We can't do it on our own strength. Without God, we can't do it. But with him, we can do whatever he tells us to do. Listen, the Holy Spirit can change the heart of that teenage daughter or the heart of that teenage son. He can do something in them and awaken them to God's purpose. If we would just pray and we begin to believe, ask for the power of the Holy Spirit and begin to prophesy over our family and begin to declare the thriving purpose of God and begin to speak to them and love on them and pray for them and ask for the grace and the transforming work of the Holy Spirit to come into their life, a revolution can happen and the atmosphere can change. And a thriving atmosphere, lastly, bears good fruit. It bears good fruit. Genesis chapter 1, when God said, let there be light and all that stuff, what did God say about it? It was good. It was good. In Acts chapter 2, at the end of the story, as they're gathering together and they're working and doing all that God has told them to do and responding to the presence of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, the Holy Spirit shows up in Acts chapter 2, and it's the one that changes the whole atmosphere. And how do we know that that was really a good thing? Well, how about this? 3,000 people got saved that day. I'd say that's pretty good fruit. I'm not a smart man. But that's good fruit. 3,000 souls were added to them in a message that really takes you about 10 minutes to read. This little short message Peter stands up and gives, and they're like, well, what do we need to do to be saved? Excellent question. Let me tell you. And Peter begins to speak to them about how they were responding to the atmosphere the Holy Spirit created. And as they responded to the direction of God, they did what Jesus told them to do. The Holy Spirit shows up, creates the atmosphere, and then they begin to see God work and it bears fruit in their lives. But then there are some things that I think are important for us to take away this morning as I get ready to wrap this up that is important. Because the book of Acts records that the disciples began to commit themselves to certain things that sustained the atmosphere that was birthed by the Holy Spirit. I want to share with you 12 things. I'm only going to speak about 10 minutes on each one. I lied. No. So this is all of Acts chapter 2. I am not, so please, as before I say these things and I share these things with you, I'm not saying these should be your atmospheres. I'm not saying. I'm saying this is what I observed out of Acts chapter 2 that were just atmospheres that sustained the thriving work of God in that. And as a people, in your family, you can work about it. In your business, you can pray about it. Wherever this atmosphere is that needs to change, you're going to step in and you're going to embrace. You're going to wait on God. You're going to pray. It's birthed in prayer. You're going to listen for a word from God. And you're going to depend on the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's going to bear fruit. Whatever he does, whatever he says to you, you do that and watch God create a thriving atmosphere in your life. So here's the 12. First of all, an atmosphere of God's presence. Come on. An atmosphere of God's presence. And hopefully you can see that. So what I want you to do, I'll say the atmosphere, and then let's all in the room say it out loud together. Can we do that? All right, so an atmosphere of God's presence. What is that? Where the presence of God is real, powerful, tangible, as people encounter the reality of God. I don't know about you, I want to be a church like that. I want to live a life like that. When people come and interact with my life, they're going to experience the presence of God. I don't have to be weird about it. I can be normal. I can be natural, but I can see God working through my life. As you come together, let's listen. Today in this room, the presence of God is here. I can feel it. I can sense it. I know that when people come into this place, they're going to encounter the reality of God by the presence of God. And I want to tell you something. You don't got God's presence, you don't got Jack. So you have to have the presence of God. You got to start there. And let me tell you, those disciples, they went and they prayed and they were there until the Holy Spirit showed up. And when the Holy Spirit showed up, that's when things started to happen. The atmosphere starts with the presence of God. Second thing, an atmosphere of prophetic revelation. You say, what is that? Well, this is when God begins to reveal His word and His mind and His ways to you in a profound and personal revelation. And it can happen in the midst of singing songs of worship. It could happen in a prayer time. It could happen as you're on your way to church or on your way home today from church. But God just kind of steps into your life and begins to speak. This is what Peter said. In the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. There is a prophetic anointing that's going to be on this generation. And a prophetic anointing is a part of a thriving atmosphere in a thriving church. So what are we talking about? An atmosphere of prophetic revelation, let's read, where people engage God's presence and there is a release of the revelation of His purpose and the sound of His voice.
Good. Amen.
Woo! Wouldn't you like to be a part of that?
Come on,
amen. Next one is an atmosphere of unity. When they were gathered together in the upper room, the Bible says, and one of the key words in Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2 is the word together. They were together in the upper room. They gathered together. They agreed together. They continued steadfastly together. They were together in the temple. They were together house to house. You hear the word together again and again and again. Another word you hear is the word or the phrase one accord. One accord. One accord. There was an agreement. There was an alignment. There was a yes, I'm with you in their hearts and in their spirit. An atmosphere of unity. What is that? Let's read this together. Atmosphere of unity, where the spirit of agreement and alignment is present as people are bound together in community and mission. The Bible actually says that where people, two or three, are gathered in my name, agreeing together as touching anything, whatever they ask shall be done for them. You think about that. That is powerful. And a lot of people like to emphasize the prayer. I would like to emphasize the agreement. Because one thing God does not respond to is division. He doesn't respond to it. We've got to have agreement. Next is the atmosphere of prayer. I don't really need a whole lot of points to illustrate this. I think we all get it. We talk to God and God hears us. He listens to us and He answers us. And when we cry out to Him, God, it moves the hand of God. An atmosphere of prayer is where people call on the name of the Lord in prayer and intercession, and the hand of God moves in response to their prayers. I mean, we believe God answers prayer. Am I talking to the right group of people? We believe God answers prayer. I believe God will touch the heart of my teenage kid. He will touch the heart of my boss. He will touch our church. He will cause a creative work to happen as we pray, and a thriving atmosphere will come as we seek Him and pray and ask Him to do it. An atmosphere of worship. The Bible says that these guys were gathered together and they were worshiping together, praising God, the phrase is used in Acts 2. This is an atmosphere of worship. Say it with me. Where passionate praise in its biblical expressions brings the encounter with God's presence. Now, I worded this specifically the way I did. Where passionate praise. God's not looking for lukewarm or cold people. He's looking for hot people. And it looks to me like this is a room full of hot people. Oh, come on now. Come on. Are we hot in here or what?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We're going to burn. John Wesley said, light me on fire. It'll be worth it so people can come and see me burn.
Yeah. Come on.
There's something attractive about a passionate people. They're like full throttle. They're just like, yeah. You know? It's kind of like that guy who is just so excited after work, and he's just like, yeah, let's go. And he's jumping up and down in his car outside of work. And one guy comes up, oh, man, what are you excited about? Oh, man. And he didn't really answer him. But so, man, he kind of gets excited too. Another guy comes, and another girl comes. And before you know it, there's 10, 20 people gathered around this guy, man. He's like, yeah, let's go. Somebody's like, where are we going? I have no idea. But he had a crowd. Think of what you could do with passion and vision.
Come on. Come on. Yeah.
Where somebody actually knows where they're going and they're that passionate about it. There, it's attractive.
Come on.
Passionate praise in its biblical expressions. I just have news for you. Sitting isn't a biblical expression of praise. It's not. Sitting isn't. Standing is. Kneeling is.
Yeah.
Dancing is lifting your hands.
Yeah.
Well, I don't feel comfortable. Let me ask you, do you feel biblical? Bring that biblical expression, because as we do, passionately do what's biblical. Now, let me tell you, biblical also means there's things that you don't do. You won't be weird. You go be weird in your prayer closet with you and Jesus. You go do your weird thing when nobody else is around. And you can impress God on your own. But hey, leave that weirdness there. We're going to come and do biblical expressions of worship.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Aha. Uh-huh. Honey, go start the car.
Yeah.
Get it warm. Okay. Atmosphere of faith.
Come on.
Atmosphere of faith. Here we go. Read this with me. Where there is a conviction that there is nothing that is impossible with God, and that all things are possible for those who believe. Come on. Do we have some people of faith in the room? Come on. There is no soul that is too lost. There is no darkness that is too great. There is no bondage that is too strong that our God can't save, our God can't heal, our God can't deliver. I believe that. There's no mountain too tall that he can't move it. That's the kind of God we serve.
Amen.
And I believe in that God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
An atmosphere of love. An atmosphere of love. Let's read this. Where every person is received and valued as a gift from God and loved unconditionally and extravagantly. You don't have to hug everybody in the room, but the atmosphere says there's an embrace in this room. There's an embrace here. Right? You love people. People don't care what you know until they know how much you care. And once you impact their life with the love of God, they'll listen to what you believe about God. But sometimes we've got to serve them. Sometimes we've got to love them. Sometimes we got to go beyond what is our orientation politically. There's a whole lot of hatred in this world, just over donkeys and elephants. And I got to tell you, we're not zookeepers. We're kingdom builders. And I don't care if you're a donkey or an elephant. You're welcome. We're going to build the kingdom of God together. Come on. An atmosphere of truth. The Bible says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's the number one on the list. In that list of qualifications or characteristics of the early church, the apostles' doctrine was there. An atmosphere of truth. Let's see what it is. Where the teaching is solid and the doctrine is sound, bringing revelation and maturity to people. That's what we want to see. We want to see people growing and thriving in the truth of God. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Next one. I got two more to go. Atmosphere of the power of God.
Good.
Atmosphere of the power of God. Let's read this. Where miracles, signs and wonders, healings, and supernatural demonstrations of the power of God are seen without weirdness or flakiness, naturally supernatural and supernaturally natural. Right?
Yes.
Let's just let the power of God flow. Let God do what he does. And we can be cool people with that. Right? And just pray for people, love on people, and believe for miracles and healings and signs and wonders. We are a supernatural people. We believe in the power of God. He spoke the word and created the universe with his voice. What can he create in someone's body when there's cancer there, when there's sickness there, when there's disease there, when a breakthrough is needed, when a deliverance is needed, when an addiction needs to be broken? We believe in the power of God. That's the atmosphere that we want to have. You don't have to have a healing line to have people healed. It can actually happen in the atmosphere of the power of God. Somebody just all of a sudden goes, oh, wow, I'm healed. My shoulder is totally, I'm healed. And they're over here going, oh, yeah. Just, you know. Finally, I got a few more. Sorry, I'm sorry. I got a couple more. No, atmosphere of generosity. Are you getting something out of this? An atmosphere of generosity. Where a spirit of giving and generosity is practiced, and we embrace the goodness and blessing of God. This is what I believe. I believe God wants to bless me. And I don't believe I'm in trouble. Now, do I believe that the suffering's a part of the Christian experience? I do. It is. I mean, you can't read the Bible and not come to a different conclusion. But I would say, this is what Peter says about suffering, for a little while. That's not the norm for your life. There are these little while seasons where you might experience suffering, but the normal or the predominant experience of the Christian experience should be the blessing of God. That's what I believe. Atmosphere of joy. An atmosphere of joy. Are you happy today? Come on, is God good? Hallelujah. Atmosphere of joy. This is what we're talking about. Where gladness, laughter, and joy are evident among God's people as they have fun pursuing his purpose. We should be having fun. This is one of the reasons I say yes when they come, they invite me up here. Because I like to have fun with these people. Kara, you are one of the funnest people to be around. I know. I mean, she is hilarious. It's funny being around her. I laugh my head off. It's so fun. You got to be with people like that. Man, life sometimes can be a bummer. And you need to surround yourself with some people that actually know how to have fun. They like to laugh and they like to, and you know, right? Come on, this should be the happiest people on earth.
That's right.
The people in this room.
That's right.
All right, last one, atmosphere of favor. An atmosphere of favor. The Bible says they enjoy the favor of all the people. Atmosphere of favor, where we believe in open doors and new opportunities to make God famous in our city. Favor, favor, favor. He wants to put favor on your business so that he can be glorified through it. He wants to put favor on your life so he can be glorified through it. He wants to put favor in your kids so he can be glorified through them. He wants to put favor on this church so he can be glorified through it. There needs to have an atmosphere of favor in the house as we stand up and be who God's called us to be and go do what God's called us to do so that we can step in and thrive in an atmosphere like that. Boy, I tell you, that's an atmosphere I want to be a part of. That's a church I want to be a part of. That's the church Jesus is building. Do you want to be a part of that? Yeah. I'm going to have the worship team come back. We're going to sing a little bit. But I want you to stand to your feet with me today. I really believe this word's a prophetic word to this church. I believe that God is wanting to set some things here in motion that create atmosphere to begin to move in this place so that the thriving life of God would just pour out. And you guys are, you're doing great. And I'm not in any way here to say that you're not. But I believe that God's got more for you. And I think there's people in the room who agree with that. Yeah, God's got more. And there's some things that he needs to adjust with the atmosphere of the house and in your own personal life, maybe. Where God wants to tweak it so that the thriving, you just step into a whole new level of thriving in your faith, thriving in your relationship with God, thriving in this house as God brings you forward in his purpose. Come on. You just bow your head with me today. I want to pray for two groups of people. First of all, I've got to tell you that you cannot experience this shift, this change, this incredible life and the atmosphere that it brings without knowing the atmosphere giver, the atmosphere creator. God is the originator of this kind of atmosphere that we can have in our life. And friend, you know, you might be feeling like, well, how I started out, man, I'm in darkness, I'm alone, it's just, I'm in some deep trouble, I got some deep things going on, I got emptiness in my life, I've got things, and I just want to see that thriving faith that you're talking about, Mark. I want to see that in my life. And friend, I have news for you. You can know what I'm talking about. This atmosphere of living life like this begins with a relationship with a person, and his name is Jesus. Friend, if you're here today and you just know that right now in this moment you're far from God, or maybe sometime in your past you had a relationship with God, but through time and neglect it's become broken and fractured, and you find yourself separated from him. You've wandered away. He's stayed constant, but you've kind of went off in your own direction. You want to come back home, or you want to have a new relationship with God. Friend, if that's you, one moment of faith, one moment of prayer, calling on the name of the Lord, the Bible says you can have what we're talking about today. So I want to invite you. Every head bowed today, I just want you to respect the choices of those people around you. And I want to ask, is there anyone here today who would say, I'm ready to say yes to Jesus? I want that change in that atmosphere of my life. I'm ready to say yes to him. I want a new life in Christ. Or you want to see your relationship with him restored in some way. If that's you, and you're here in this place, the sound of my voice, and you're ready to say yes to Jesus, raise your hand. Thank you. Anyone else? To say, Mark, I want to do that. Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Come on, lift up your hand. Thank you, ma'am. To say yes. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, young lady. Anyone else? To say, I'm ready. I want that new life. I want to experience. I want to start here with Jesus, and I want to see my life. Just one more second, and we're going to pray. Anybody else? Just say, I'm ready. I'm ready to say yes to Jesus. Thank you, sir. Everybody in the room, could you just pray this prayer with me right now? Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. I believe in you. Forgive me my sins and come into my life. And help me follow you. In this moment, I surrender to you, and I ask you, be the leader of my life and help me follow you. I commit my heart to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, church, let's tell these guys, welcome home. Yeah. Best decision you'll ever make. Best decision. All right, here, second group of people. You're in this room today and you've got an atmosphere around in your life or in your story, at work, kids, whatever, you know what it is. And you want that thing to change and you want God to enter into it. The Bible says that when we pray, God responds and heals, change the atmosphere. So if you're here today, you say, I have some things that maybe several. Or maybe it's just one. But you want to see a shift in the atmosphere around your life. Raise your hand right here. Just raise your hand. Just say, I want to see a change. There's something I want to, there's an atmosphere. I want to see it change. I want God to come in. I want the Holy Spirit to shift that. I want God to in my life. If you're here today and you're saying, yes, we're not talking about following Jesus. We're talking about fulfilling this purpose and a thriving atmosphere for your life. You're ready to go into that and say, do what you got to do. I need God to work in it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your purpose. Thank you that you've called us into your life and into your plan and in all that you have for us. And today, we're inviting you, Holy Spirit, to come and create an atmosphere, to change the atmosphere, to shift it, remove that stinky bag of whatever it is that needs to go, and just get that out of our life. Remove the repellents, remove the things that are out of order, and cause there to be a change. I surrender to you. I submit to you. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not my will, but your will be done. And I pray you would change the atmosphere. I surrender whatever it is you need to be surrendered. And I ask for you to come, Holy Spirit, transform and shape and cause this atmosphere to thrive around my life in the mighty name of Jesus. Let my children thrive in it. Let my business thrive in it. Let my marriage thrive in it. Let my church thrive in the powerful, Holy Spirit, faith-filled, God-anointed atmosphere in my life. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord some praise.
Moving in our midst, I worship you, I worship you. You are here, working in this place, I worship you, I worship you. You are here, you are here. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you, I worship you. Waymaker, waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Oh, Waymaker, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are, and that is who you are, 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 that is who you are. You're working, even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker. who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are.
Father, we just come to you. Father, the way maker, the one who keeps his promises, the one who is faithful, the one who with you all things are possible. Father, we shift tonight, today, our focus, Father, from the God that we had in our mind to the God of heaven. For the one who can take an impossible situation, an impossible circumstance, and can change a heart. Father, we focus upon you. We say, that Jesus, would you be the one in control of our atmospheres? Father, you know every heart. You know every situation. Father, you know every desire of people that just say, hey, things aren't right in my life. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would speak and that your Holy Spirit would breathe on every area this week. Father, that even as we are focused upon you and those things, Father, I declare that atmospheres are going to change, that marriages are going to change. Father, that relationships and dynamics with parents and children will change, workplaces will change. In Jesus' name, let it be. Amen. Amen. Come on, can we give the Lord a hand? Come on, let's give him praise because he's worthy to be praised. Come on, because he's good. Come on. Come on. Come on, let's sing it one more time.
That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are.
We say, yes, God. Amen. Well, I hope you're encouraged. And if not, I just hope you're encouraged. I'm not going to slam you. Man, can we tell Pastor Mark and Cheryl, thank you. Come on, can we give them a round of applause for being faithful to what God said to them and for coming to Maple Valley. I tell you, God is doing some amazing things through them, and God is doing amazing things here. And so I hope you're excited. I hope you're expectant. Next step, be here next week. Right? Be here next week because God wants to continue to change our atmosphere. We love you guys. Pastor Mark and Cheryl, thank you for being here. Love you. And we're going to have a great day and a great week. Let's go in his name today. Amen. See you next time.